Welcome back into the game on 99.1 and 99.1WDGM.com. Our show presented by Rumsey Environmental. Rumsey Environmental, a one-stop shop serving West Alabama. We do it each and every day. We originate out of Tuscaloosa. We're streaming on the World Wide Web. 99.1WDGM.com, the Radio Pump app, downloadable in iTunes and Android store for your respected phone. Right now, we welcome in the athletic director at the University of Alabama. He's been on the job 83 days. Coach, welcome into our program. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Thank you. I'm doing great. Appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely. And Coach, what's the last 83 days been like for you?
It's been a whirlwind. It's been the first 2 weeks were like being in a tornado. It was pretty wild. It's been a while since I've been working 18-hour days, 7-day weeks, and being pulled in so many different directions. But it's been a fun, stimulating, exciting experience. It's great to be in Tuscaloosa and back in Alabama and back with so many friends and. It's just been a really exciting time for me.
Well, Coach, as you look at this time period, and I know that you were on some great football teams and ones that won the national title, but I think this is one of those time periods that we'll go back 25, 30, 45 years from now. We'll look back at this unique time period, and I think we'll all take a sense of pride being alumni at the University of Alabama.
Well, there's no question what Coach Saban and his staff and the university have done in football has been unprecedented in my mind, and particularly when you look at it occurring in today's environment, which is, I would think, the most competitive of all times. And then really when you look at what the university's done over the last 10 years going from 19,000 students to this year 33,600, and all the while not sacrificing in academic and the quality of students, but aggressively increasing and enhancing the number of merit scholars and 4.0 students, and the grade point average has gone up, the $1 billion in facilities that have expanded the campus to actually set up an infrastructure that can accommodate another 5,000, we think. I think the goal is 38,000 over the next few years. And then what athletic facilities, what Mal and his team did with athletic facilities, getting them up to speed, and then the coaches winning national championships in not just football, but men and women's golf, of course, Sarah Patterson in gymnastics, and also in football. So these are good times at the university.
Coach, how quick did you make the decision? I mean, did you reach out to some of your fellow friends and sort of do an evaluation? I mean, obviously, when you get an endorsement from a guy like Coach Mal Moore, I mean, it's sort of automatic. But what was the process like making that decision?
Well, it happened very quickly. I had never aspired to be an athletic director. I was very comfortable where I was. I was consulting with the company that I built and sold, and enjoying that, enjoying a farm up in North Georgia and a place in Jackson Hole, and living a pretty comfortable life. Being an athletic director, even when I was a coach, was not something I wanted to do. But when I got the call, and evidently Mal and some of the trustees and Dr. Bonner and Dr. Witt had been talking about me for at least some time, they just hadn't told me. So I got a call on a Sunday night, and my world turned upside down. I came over and met with Dr. Witt and some of the trustees on Tuesday, went back on Friday and met with Dr. Bonner and other trustees and Coach Saban and some other people, and then told them on Sunday that I would do it. On the Sunday before, I told them I wasn't going to do it, but I was honored and flattered, and they're pretty convincing. But it's when I the bottom line was that the university acted like they wanted me and needed me to come fill a void that they had by Mel's illness. And I was in good health and rested and relaxed and up to, I thought, the challenge. And I knew the challenge. I knew exactly what being an athletic director would be. And so I had to wrestle with that for a little while. But at the end of the day, I decided that if I didn't do this, I would regret it forever. And I decided to do it. Mary had to support that, and she did. She was totally supportive. And so we've come as a team, committed to doing the best we can do.
Coaches, as we look back, and I want to go back to your playing days. I want to go back to those. And I believe, were you Leroy Jordan's roommate? Am I correct on that?
No, my roommate was Butch Wilson, but Leroy roomed across the hall from us on the first floor of Friedman Hall. And we were good friends, have been, and all the way through, and still are. So, but Leroy was a great teammate.
Well, Leroy helps us break down college football games. He's our featured guest every Friday night. So it's good when you can talk with a guy like Leroy. What was he like to block? Because looking at your position, that was partially some of your responsibility.
It was. Leroy was actually more of an inside linebacker. We played a wide tackle six, but our linebackers were primarily over the guards. Sometimes they moved out over the tackles, but I didn't have to block him too many times, which was a good thing for me. I'd never heard of XL Alabama or Leroy, and we played in the All-Star game, and out at practice, there were collisions going on around the field. They got everybody's attention, and most of them were caused by Leroy, and he made his presence felt very quickly from the first time he stepped on the field, and continued that throughout his career with both Alabama and the Cowboys.
We're talking with the athletic director at the University of Alabama. Coach Bill Battle joins us via the telephone. He's live and in the game on 99.1 WDGM. I want to dive into also playing with Joe Namath, because we talk about Joe Namath. What was he like in that huddle? Did he just take something different? And I know you played with some great ones. Steve Sloan was a part of your team as well. But what was it like playing with those great quarterbacks like Joe Namath and Steve Sloan?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play with Steve. Steve was a freshman my senior year. Joe was a sophomore, and I did get to play with him 1 year, his sophomore year. Pat Trammell was our quarterback.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yep.
My sophomore and junior year when we won the national championship. And Pat was a great leader, one of the best leaders I've ever been around, probably the toughest quarterback I've ever been around. Joe was obviously a great athlete. He was a sophomore on a senior dominated team, and so, you know, while he had plenty of confidence, he wasn't probably the leader that he was as a junior and senior. But I tell you what, Joe, the thing that impresses me the most about Joe Namath over all the years is whatever team he ever was on, he was a great teammate. He was a great teammate on our team as a sophomore playing with seniors. He respected the seniority, I think, and the players there. He fit in extremely well. Again, he would sacrifice me for team and in all cases, and everything that I heard and read about him with the Jets and everywhere he's been a great teammate, and he's still a special guy at the University of Alabama and gives a lot back to the university every year. He's been a leader in the golf tournament, the Malmore Golf Tournament that Mal started a few years ago, and Joe's come back every year and been the moderator and the lead figure in that, and it's helped University raised a lot of money, so we're most appreciative of Joe.
Coach, as I look at your coaching career, and you started out as a grad assistant at Oklahoma under Bud Wilkinson, you transitioned and coached for Army under a very unique time there as far as our country during the midst of the Vietnam War. You had a chance to build a relationship with legendary basketball coach Bobby Knight. But at 28 years of age, you became the head coach for the Volunteers. I mean, that had to be a challenge just because of your age. I mean, that I believe, no doubt, I mean, that's a young to be a head coach.
Well, being the head coach at the University of Tennessee or any other SEC institution is a challenge at any age. And I didn't, you know, people asked me how it felt to be a young 28-year-old coach, and I said, I don't know how to be an old coach. All I know how to be is what I am. And I thought I could do the job, and I'd been there for 4 years and helped recruit and helped build a team that we had and under Doug Dickey's leadership. And so we, Coach Woodruff, our athletic director, wanted to keep the staff as much intact as he could when Doug decided to go to Florida. So I took the job, and it was, Tennessee, the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry is one of the great ones in the South. It was an honor for me to have participated on both sides of it, but it was a huge challenge.
Coach, there's some folks out there that would like to remove those permanent cross divisional games. What will you take as far as your approach to make sure that we understand how important that game is to both fan bases, the third Saturday in October?
You know, all you got to do is go back and look, and who knows what the future will bring. We've expanded our conferences, in all conferences where, you know, we're playing eight games. There are 14 teams and playing eight games, SEC games now. Serious consideration about going to nine. We play in games that Coach Saban has enjoyed playing in, and it's been a great thing for the university to play in games, the opening games in Atlanta and Dallas, and have had a lot of good recognition early on and made a fair amount of money playing in those games as well, and gotten the seasons kicked off to a great start against good national competition. So, you know, I don't know where we're going to go. It's a shame when Texas and Texas A&M don't play. It would be a shame if Alabama and Tennessee didn't play. So, we can do the best we can to try to preserve those rivalries, but things get in the way of that sometimes. So we just have to go where the road takes us, but I certainly hope we can continue to keep that going.
Coach, a couple of weeks ago, it was reported that in Destin, you had to come up with a couple of guys that you would nominate. Now, you've been a Harris Interactive College Football poll, and it seems like that's the big obstacle, is selecting the selection committee for this college football playoff. Coach, as you look back, and I don't want you to reveal anything that's confidential to you. You may or may not want to reveal that. But what do you think is ideal for the makeup of guys that should be on that selection committee?
Well, as I talk, you know, when I was asked a hypothetical question, and we were at an SEC meeting, and SEC people came to mind, and I spouted off when I shouldn't have, but our rationale was pretty sound, and I would explain that to anybody that wanted to listen. However, the thing that I told them is that, first of all, you want somebody that has great character and integrity. The second thing is, in my mind, you want somebody that really understands football. The third thing is, you need somebody that's willing to work. And because serving on the Harris poll for a couple of years, I was in a company that represented a lot of teams that were in the mix, but we didn't represent all of them. And so I wanted rationale from the start to the finish to be open and transparent, and I wanted to have a solid reason for every pick that I made wherever I put them, and if I move people up or down, wanted to do that. And I would think that anybody that got on this committee would do that as well. So, and then when you, you know, you'd want the last thing I think you want is when they go into the room and close the door behind them, they leave their school affiliation and the conference affiliation behind them, because there's nobody that doesn't have some affiliation with either an institution or a conference. And so you'd like to think that there are people to do that. Now, having said that, what we also must have, and we have to have this, there have to be, you know, that's subjective. The voters are subjective. What we have to have are hard, cold, objective metrics that speak for themselves, to strength the schedule, to the quality of wins, the, you know, who you've played, how many teams you've played, and all the all those objective facts that you know, are either the percentages of wins that your opponents have. All that goes, you know, that can be done. It's been done by computers, and I know there's, you know, we can't trust computers, but we have to have a mix between computers or some objective metrics and the subjective thing that doesn't let the computers or the cold, hard, objective facts do something stupid.
Coach, I know I'm out of time, but do you mind if I ask two more questions? I think you'll love the sort of format if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Okay, the athletic director of the University of Alabama, Coach Bill Battle, joining me right now, the guy that was named the athletic director 83 days ago. As we get ready, today, 90 days away from what we'll celebrate is Coach Bryant's birthday. It's 100th anniversary of Coach Bryant. As we look back at Coach Bryant, and you signed him, one of your very first clients there at the Collegiate Licensing organization and company that you run, what would Coach Bryant say to you about leading the University of Alabama as the AD? What advice would he give you?
He would say, take good care of the university and take care of Alabama football. And I think that's what he told his son, Paul Bryant Jr., on his deathbed. And I think that's public knowledge, but he loved University of Alabama, and I think and I believe that as he's looking down right now at where the university is, I believe he's smiling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I think we lost you there. You said he's looking down, and I think that's all we heard. It was just a phase out.
I think he's looking down with a big smile on his face.
Well,
very proud.
No doubt. Coach, final question, and I know that Aaron Suttles has done a great job from the Tuscaloosa News talking about the baseball facility. I know a lot of folks, we've taken a lot of calls about the baseball facility. As we make those future plans, is this current site where we're looking at the baseball facility? Is there other sites that are on the table?
There is another site on the table, but I think we're leaning, and we think the site that we have is really a good one, and while the decision hadn't been made finally, my feeling is that we're leaning toward staying in that same site.
But it will be a refresher look, right? I mean,
there's been some great plans that have been. This thing has been thought through tremendously, and I'm convinced that if it goes in the direction that I think it's going, I think everybody will be pleased.
Coach, I appreciate you spending some time with me, not only talking about Coach Bryant, but your playing days, your coaching days. We just welcome you to the University of Alabama family. I know when we heard the name, we did the research, we looked at what you bring to the table. No doubt, we're very happy to have you in Tuscaloosa, and thanks for spending some time with us here in Tuscaloosa talking about the athletic department at the University of Alabama. Thank you again, Coach.
Well, thank you for having me on, and good luck to you.